Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we are here. We have gone from a big guest-astrophe last week where everyone was dropping off for good reasons to now we're bulging at the seams. We've got Muller in the studio and we've got five people on the lines, and what a panel we have for you tonight. Starting us off, it's the Camps. Looking good, mate.
Hey, not bad at all. How are you doing?
Yeah, how much weight you dropped now then? Because you're looking like you're in a Russian concentration camp now.
It's about 3.5 stone. I think I've lost now. Challenge I've got now, although I've got a bit carrying a bit of an injury at the minute. The challenge I've got is eating more of the right stuff. I probably eat more now than I've ever done. Starting to eat a bit more whilst still burning it off like crazy with the running.
Good man. And how's the running tech reviewing coming?
Not bad at all. I've got, in fact, one of my cool thing tonight is another piece of running tech, but it's Muller will like it, I think. So I won't say anymore. I'll save it just now. But I've still got about 4 or 5 reviews lined up that I need to get my finger out and get sorted over the next week or two.
I've got some cool running tech Muller like. Have you met Muller?
It's not just running tech.
Oh, all right, got you.
It's usable outside of running.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, it's got to be us. Muller's having it, yeah. Next to him, it's Jeffrey, who's not on mute, even though he can hear me.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that other than Skype.
Yeah.
So my big question right now is, if it's for running and it's running tech, but it's not always for running, does that mean it's also for fast sitting?
Yeah. Or walking, or listening to things.
Now, I've had some feedback, Jeff, that your floor walk at CES is going down as in the top 10 BTN moments ever.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I'm so glad that I could contribute something of value to BTN, finally.
A few people have suggested that that it was top quality, especially the puffer fish.
I'm glad that it all worked out so we could do that. That was a lot of fun.
I'm surprised no one's clipped it yet and put it somewhere.
Oh, it's probably somewhere.
There's got to be a dance for Jeff, don't put your dick in the puffer fish. somewhere to some house music. Underneath him, it's Gazmaz, who was there for that night.
I was, and I want to ask Jeff, you didn't, did you?
You know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Okay. All right. We'll go with that. Good evening.
Hello, mate. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Fashioning my new look.
Hey, look, you're very suave, mate. Very suave.
Hey, no tie and shirt. This is waistcoat stuff, mate. Hey,
it looks
and
like
look,
a tweed
look,
waistcoat. Silk back. And... Oh, you haven't.
I have.
So you've become Mr. Chumley Warner then.
Happen.
You've been all right, mate?
Good. Yes. Excellent. Very good.
Shit calmed down at work?
Yes and no.
Okay.
it's all gonna kick off again soon. But
yes, if the boss is watching, no, if he or she isn't. Next to him, it's Righty Boy, who's doing his best Vincent Price.
Aye.
Look at that.
How did he go? I don't know. Don't even start.
I said you need to go get some Edgar Allan Poe up on the screen.
Yeah, I'm down in my basement. The boy won't let me out. Right. It's like we haven't spoken all week, mate.
We've spoken a lot this week because you've been having a go at doing my website for me. Thank you, mate.
It's been good fun, isn't it?
It is. It's been good fun. We've got some pictures up, which is working, and the pictures look great, but we can't get the video to work properly. Bastard.
We'll fix it. It's just internet.
Thanks, mate. And last but by no means least, a man we have attempted to get on the show no less than 9 times in the last 10 weeks.
How about that?
I'm not kidding. That's not an exaggeration. That's the truth. We've been trying to get you on since November.
It's crazy. But I'm here. What it do, my people?
Oh, mate. It's been a case of just like, we've had a guest meltdown, and I'm about to say, Chris, it's you and me, mate, so we're going to take a break.
A couple times you had the guest meltdown, and then I had a couple things come up last minute, and I was like, man, I've got to get on this show. People are going to forget who I am.
It's a sign.
But I'm here.
Good, man.
But I'm doing good. I too have been busting my tail trying to lose some chub. So that's why I actually have a neck.
Yeah, I did notice that. How much have you lost, man?
A lot. I'm getting close to the century mark.
Wow, so you lost a whole other person.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been back in the gym lately trying to do some powerlifting and stuff. That's how good I'm feeling. I've actually decided to try to do some powerlifting again. And it's not going so well. I'm old.
Well, yeah, the knees
not the same.
Yeah, I've noticed that on me. I'm trying to be good, but I'm not doing very well, fortunately.
Come on now.
Still the same old, same old. I'll get it. The Week in Tech. Apparently, the doomsday clock has been set to 2 minutes to midnight now, so we're all shitting ourselves because the scientists who use it as a graphical display of the Earth's catastrophe think that we should be bothered. But apart from that, what's gone on in tech? We didn't go to the President's Club. I turned my invitation down, and boy, am I glad I didn't go. I stayed home and put my hand on my wife's arse instead. Actually, I probably would have got off lighter in the press. Right, chaps, who's got the story of the week? Who wants to start us off with what's going on in tech? Righty boy, what is it with you? I can see Camps actually standing there hovering over the Command V, and yet you still get it in ahead of him.
Not as fast as me.
I don't know, he's got it lined up ready, and he just hits return.
You must.
The picky bastards in the chat room are pointing out that I've got a Mac ID in the corner of everyone's screen. So I'll change that while Righty Boy talks us through the new Amazon Go grocery store, which could be bad for me. Mate, but Amazon's not good for me.
Well, no, this is what made me think of you. Well, it's the whole thing, isn't it? So they've been trialing it, and now they've actually probably released one of these stores. So I think the idea is you kind of go in, you've got an app on your phone, you walk in, and it's got that kind of mini bar kind of thing where you take things off the shelf, you put them in your basket, you put them in your bag, you walk out, and it charges you on the way out. I think this is a really bad idea.
All right, okay. Because,
well, I know we're always talking about, like, the future and, you know, autonomy in vehicles and that the robots will take our jobs and all this sort of thing, but I just think it's a really kind of sad way to go, because I like going to the shops. I know it's more of a lady thing sometimes, that you like a bit of shopping, but I enjoy a bit of shopping. And I like the kind of mentality of going into shops that I go into a lot, and people know who I am. The Welk man down the Norwich Market knows who I am. He knows I like my Welks on a Saturday morning, all that sort of stuff. But it's just a really weird thing, because you're being tracked all the time in this shop, you know, because they've got cameras and sensors and all this sort of thing. But the reason I thought about you is, you know, you think Prime is free, don't you?
Yeah, I'm not good.
So you'd probably just walk in and just go and do your shopping and think, well, that didn't cost me anything.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, because, you know, the thing that this story says is, you know, there's that whole thing about, I do the same thing with Apple Pay and that sort of thing, is when I'm paying for stuff with Apple Pay, I don't kind of necessarily think I'm paying for it, because it's just so easy and so simple to do. And as this story points out, when you hand over hard cash, you kind of think, well, it's an effort to give that cash away, and they give you a change, and it's a physical transaction and those sort of things. And I think if retail went this way, you know, Amazon obviously want to have this all over the place, don't they? You know, and I think other shops would look at this, because we had this with the self-service tills. And, you know, if you ask anyone who works in retail, that they hate self-service tills, because in a way it puts them out of a job, and all they do is, like, you know, check if you're 18. Although I do go in every time, and if they ask me if I'm over if I'm under 25, I give them a kiss and say thank you very much. But I like going to my shop in the morning. I'm not trying to say I'm posh, but I go to my Waitrose around the corner. I get a free coffee every morning. I talk to the girls in the shop, and it's a nice way to start your day. I don't like this sterile kind of just walking into a store, grabbing stuff and walking out again. And I don't know what everyone else thought, if this is a good thing or a bad thing.
There you go then, fellas. It's the challenge. Did you see the image of people queuing outside the store?
Yeah.
It's like the whole
people
thing is
queuing
about
for a store, you shouldn't need to queue in.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The irony.
Yeah, go on, Chris. You're about to say something.
Go on. Is it me or Chris Ashley?
Oh, yeah. We need to... Go on, Big Chris.
Yeah, so I'm against it, but just for a totally selfish reason. And so I don't know if I'm really against it. But the reality is I don't even like using self-checkout today. Like, I'll go to the store and if you go early in the morning or late at night, it's all self-checkout. And I'm like, I don't know how to use that. Can we get somebody over here? And I don't like the fact that I have to use these things and I'm not getting paid to use them. They're not giving me any type of discount to use these machines. And so they save money by not having cashiers, but I'm not saving any money. So that's just refuse to use them. And this makes it even worse, is you just go in and put stuff in a basket. If that's the case, then might as well just order it online and just have it sent. And sometimes I like to go see my local meat guy before I smoke some food. So, yeah, not for me.
Okay. Go on, Chris.
I'd totally use this.
All right. You totally.
I know me.
Go on, Jeff.
I wouldn't want to use this every single time I shop, but after going in and buying things in the Apple store where I could just use my iPhone to scan the code and I leave, I like the idea of if I'm in a rush, I know what I want, I can just go in the store, pick it up and leave, and I'm charged and I'm done and I'm out of the way. But there's other times where I would definitely not want to use this. But yeah, for a convenience thing, I would use it.
Yeah, no, I think the only time I would use it if I'm going in to buy me lube, it's a bit weird to say to the old woman, "Oh, there you go, there's me money." So at least you go to Amazon, they don't know what you're buying, but you haven't got to show it to anyone.
Well, so go on, Chris. I'll be back with you forwards. Chris Campion hasn't said a word yet. Sorry.
I think there's a couple of points that you've sort of picked out here, right? There's the part about the pay inconvenience thing, that the handing over physical cash thing, and I see that. I don't generally carry cash around. I either use Apple Watch for most stuff. If I don't use Apple Watch, then it'd be because they don't accept it for any reason, then it'd be probably contactless or debit card anyway. So I always have some cash on me, but not a lot. And the majority of purchases are contactless in one way or another. But then there's the convenience of not having to queue it till now. I'm like most of you, I don't use self-checkouts in the supermarket, because generally speaking, I find that they either, you get the scenario, you need to put it in your bag. I've already put it in the bag, or it doesn't recognize the item, or you've got an age check on there or something. So you end up getting somebody. So I'll tend to go through the till, but then I'll still use contactless when I get there, or use my watch. Would I use this? Well, I'm not having to hand over cash anyway, so that wouldn't put me off. If it was quick convenience thing, yeah, I probably would. But equally, I don't want to see people out of jobs as a result. But then I look at when I think about how I also use some similar technology. So I went to the cinema at the weekend and took my daughter. I bought the tickets on my phone. I paid for them on my phone. I walked up. I went straight to the little kiosk, straight inside the cinema doors. Typed my reference number in. It dropped my tickets into the tray and I walked through. I didn't have to go to the reception ticket box office thing. So I've kind of done the same thing, but not with groceries, just going to a cinema. I've totally bypassed by using the automated systems that they've got in place and use technology to bypass people. So I think if I was to say, would I use it? No. Nah, I would. But I think a little bit like Jeff, it probably wouldn't be the primary reason, unless they were discounting goods Amazon style, like they do with an awful lot of other products anyway, to entice you through the door.
The thing that that strikes me about this is, the American guys here, do you have urban stores, urban supermarkets? So in the middle of city centres, you've got this little tiny, horrid little supermarket excuse. Do you have that?
No.
No, you see, you always go out to the supermarket, which is outlying. Which in our town centres, we've got Tesco Express and that kind of stuff, Sainsbury's Go stuff, which is... it's tucked in underneath a high-rise block, and it's small and it's short. It's got a limited supply of goods, but it's okay for stuff that you want to go in and get out. And typically in London, if you go out from the office and you want to get some lunch, you can go into the Sainsbury's right next door, which is one of these little tiny horrible things, and you can just pick up a bit of sushi or you can pick up a wrap or a sandwich and walk out. And for stuff like that in an urban area, this would go down an absolute storm in the UK, because I'd love to go in there, it recognise that I'm there off my phone or by a scan, and then me just walk out with me sandwiches, and it charged me. That would be great. Totally.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I think, Righty, that you said that you didn't want to use it because you still want that shopping experience with people. And then I'm not Amazon's biggest fan, but they're first to market with this, and the other stores are going to be following.
Yeah,
it's going to come where people go around buying stuff without handing over a card, without handing over any cash. It's all going to be done facially. There's going to be biometric readers everywhere. And it's not so far off. I think, as I said, I'm not Amazon's biggest fan, but they're first to market with this. And I think other stores around the world, certainly in built-up areas, are going to be doing this. And you'll still have the choice. The problem is, as more and more of the bigger stores do this, they take over and they get the monopoly, and then they open the small stores because the small stores have had to shut down. And then they'll put this through, and you won't have that person anywhere that you want to go and chat to when you're buying your morning orange juice.
Sorry, guys.
Go on.
Go on, Chris.
I think Ewan's point around, in London, you walk out and you've got the small express stores where you go in, you get your sandwich, some fruit at lunchtime and straight out. I agree with you. I could totally see this actually jumping on that market. When I think about where I am and how we do our weekly shop, we've got two or three sort of fairly big supermarkets, almost hypermarket type size, not too far from where I live. And they've got no loyalty to me as a customer. When I go in there and we buy milk and the rest of the sort of like the weekly groceries, washing powder, all that sort of stuff, there's no loyalty to me. It's not like I see the same checkout assistant there, because it's different people every time I go in. And I would replace some of that experience with the Amazon Go type experience. But what I don't want to see disappear is we've got two really good butchers. We've got a fishmongers near us. And I like going to see those guys. We don't tend to buy meat from the supermarket. We'll always go to the butchers.
But this isn't stopping you doing that.
No, absolutely not. So I think it still gives me that choice. But it wouldn't bother me if I went to the huge Asda, where we tend to go. Wouldn't bother me if they moved more in this direction.
I think
apart from the fact that you know that people are losing their jobs as a result.
So Gazzy's point's really valid in the fact that they'll take away from local business, then fold, and then they move in, and that's that. But there's like the good butchers have survived the supermarket. So why would the good butchers not survive this? I don't think they wouldn't. I think they will, because I go to Holloway's, and I'm never going to buy chicken from Holloway's. They sell chicken. It's great. I'm sure it's lovely. I mean, some of the chickens that they've had in there, I wouldn't fight them. When the breasts come back out, they're massive. But if you want to buy chicken, go to Costco because you get, or go to Wingyip because you get a big bag of it or a big box of it, 20 pieces in it, and it's dirt cheap, and it's good quality chicken as well. It's not horrible. So, I don't go in for them. I go in for them for pork loin. I go in for them for fillet. I go in for them for homemade sausages, bacon for Sunday mornings. It's a specific requirement, and they fill that niche for me. And no matter what Amazon do, Amazon are never going to have a bloke there going, do you want to have a look at the fillet? Do you want a tiny piece off the corner? Do you want,
Amazon are about scale. They're not about niche. Yeah. And this is just part of that scaling up process.
Yeah, Bob Beach is saying we never buy meat from a supermarket. It's terrible. So that's fine.
Yeah. See, I don't, well, maybe it's just, obviously my kind of, repulsion to this sort of thing is, obviously I live in a very small city. You can't walk more than 5 minutes down the road in Norwich without bumping into someone. So I don't know if it's different here that we've got that, like Chris is saying.
You know it's like that in every town in Britain, right? The rest of Britain is not like 28 days later towns. Or anything.
See, I couldn't get you past the first freaking sentence for a start. We're gonna protect.
I love the fact that someone
arse end of England.
I love the fact that someone in Norwich thinks the rest of Britain's had a zombie attack. Sorry, mate. Go on. You were saying.
Well, no, but like Cavs is saying, you don't see the same people twice, but my experience is that I do always see those same people, and I know those people all over Norwich, and you know, you can walk from one end of Norwich to another in 45 minutes. It's that small a city. And you always bump into someone, and you always know people in all the shops, and I like that sort of thing. And yeah, maybe, you know, you big wigs in your big cities, you know, us country mice don't have what you lot have, and electricity and cars and all that sort of stuff, but you know, we want to keep what we've got. So these technology companies, you know, coming in with their newfangled ways, you know, get off my lawn.
Deep man in the chat room, but it's the same in other towns in Britain, Ewan, but you're just not going to bump into someone that you're related to. I agree, right? I think, but I don't think it'll get rid of the personable shopping experience. I think it will give you the, I want to quickly get this and go. I think the lunchtime thing is good. I think the, like Ellis tonight, Ellis, oh Christ, you've only got one coconut milk. Can you go over the road and get a coconut milk? No, bloody hell. So then I've got to dig around for cash because I can't give him my credit card. Never going to give him my credit card. But I could give him my phone and say, scan in, pick up some coconut milk and come out with it. I trust him with that. And I think the other thing you've got to be careful of as well is that the nice thing is when you check out in a supermarket, even if you use Apple Pay, you've got a receipt and you can look at the bottom, you know how much you've spent. So it doesn't have to be a calculation in your head, but at least there's a kind of no holy shit moment, which there might be with an application. True. Where you then go back and look at your bill a month later, you're like, Christ, did I spend that much that night? Because you haven't. That's where I think it will be bad for your wallet, is if there has to be something where the Go app says, a notification that says, you've just spent this much. Confirm, yes.
Yeah. Well, I just had two texts, one from Stephen Fry, one from Dealey, and they said they won't stand for it, so enough said.
And, of course, Dealey is your aunt.
Jesus Christ.
And Bernard Matthews was your uncle.
So he tried to shoot me with a rifle once.
What, Bernard Matthews?
Yeah.
Were you turkey scrumping?
No. I accidentally walked through his garden.
Really?
On a sponsored walk, and he came at his Land Rover, and he said, if you don't get off, I'm going to shoot you, and he came up with a rifle.
Well, I thought his garden was Norfolk, so wherever you walk, you're going to be walking through his garden.
And he's dead now, isn't he? So he can't sue if that's a lie. We can publish that. Well done, Wrighty. That's good.
Get on with it.
What's the title for that? Bernard Matthews tried to shoot me.
.com.
We need to think of another half to that show title so that we don't alienate the Americans, because they're never going to know who Bernard Matthews is. Guys, you need to Google Bernard Matthews and watch one of his ads because they're hilarious. Beautiful.
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 Check it out.
Bernard Matthews tried to shoot me, .. Beautiful. Come and rub my turkey breasts.
Get your hand on my drummers.
I'm back at CES.
Oh, well, let's put the link in. Don't click it.
Don't click anything from Muller. I've learned that.
Great opening story. Great opening story. Right, who's next?
There you go.
Oh, Gaz has beaten Chris again.
I love it. I spotted this one today. Top video games depict unrealistic drugs use, says study. Right, so these artificial games showing artificial deaths with artificial people are showing artificial drugs. Right, okay. This is all about how drugs are used or shown and depicted in games, which I've got to say I'm not really a big gamer. What I liked, though, was it did talk about Mario and eating mushrooms. So it's been going on for a long time, folks.
What happens to his cart when he eats the mushroom or runs over the mushroom, yeah?
I think one of the biggest concerns they've got is the fact that...
Well, it's been going on since Alice in Wonderland, mate.
Yeah, well, yes, it's true.
Lewis Carroll's the root of the entire drug problem.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Pablo Escobar, yeah. Pablo Escobar would have been a postman without Lewis Carroll.
Yeah. So that's the show title, is it? Blame It on Lewis Carroll. Yeah, and I think obviously the concern is the fact that you can make drug cocktails, which do different things. The fact that mostly when you take drugs in most of these games, it gives you a boost. I'm not sure whether I should say anything more at that point, to be honest with you.
Well, 28% improve health. So that's not drugs, though. That's a health kit. That's a bandage in
yes.
COD World yes. War II, isn't it? Boost power. Well, okay, that's just like... spinach. So it's actually it's not Lewis Carroll, it's frigging Popeye. And thank you. And it was Popeye from Norwich.
That's gonna get me, girl.
That well, no, your girl is your sister, because olive oil was clearly related. Then
you're banned from sister jokes, Rankin.
Olive oil.
Your sister called olive oil.
Olive oil was Popeye's sister.
No, we use olive oil as a lubricant.
And what? She doesn't mind. And
turkey baster.
And 40% are disorienting. And that's a good thing, isn't it?
So this is seeming pretty realistic to me so far.
So that, of the drugs that Jeffrey takes,
40% are disorienting.
40% are disorienting, 28% improve his health, and 32% the boost power. We know which one boosts his power, don't we, everybody?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Just in time for the puffer fish.
A little blue diamond. Really, I mean, this has been going on for a long time. Warn the parents, though. Warn the parents. That's what we've got to do.
I don't see a positive message with drugs in games.
I mean, well, but why is it? There doesn't need to be a message at all in games. I mean, it's a...
Sorry, go ahead. I'm trying to get that.
That's okay. That's the boring ring. No, it doesn't need to be a message at all. I mean, this is clear to me another attempt at attacking people who use drugs as a big problem, as opposed to, you know, trying to treat these people as somebody with an issue. And, you know, so any chance they get, you know, you have it here going on in the States, you know, after all these years, you know, and finally somebody stepped up and said, we're going to stop arresting people for marijuana. And then, you know, the current administration goes in and says, nope, we're arresting people for marijuana. It's the gateway drug. It's evil, you know, and all this stuff. And it I wonder which drug company is behind this particular study, because I mean, I've never heard of anybody playing a video game taking some kind of, you know, potion and then be like, you know what? I'm going to go outside and see if I can find those ingredients and drink that potion in real life. I've just never heard of that.
Apparently it's the Entertainment Software Rating Board that have put this survey out. So,
jeez.
So see, the problem I've got with this is that just on those stats alone from that graph, which I'll just throw up on the screen now, that graph really says to me, well, a power boost is not, I mean, they're not taking heroin and cocaine in these things. They're taking things that are a magic pill to make you better. And that's just like, well, hang on, I'm about to die. So I found a first aid kit and I've got a first aid kit and now I'm better again. And I can carry on fighting. The boosting power thing, Christ knows how long this has been going. You know, you go back to Marvel Comics and you've got boosting of power with you know, Bruce Banner getting affected by radiation, Spider-Man getting bitten by a spider, but no one's putting a spider up to the neck hoping that they can climb up walls afterwards. Wow. There is a sense of... Go on, Muller.
Mostly no one.
Oh, Muller is, sorry. Muller's tried that. Muller has Muller has put a spider to his neck and then fell.
It does say further down on the article that actually 60% of them, almost 61% of the games are actually portraying real drugs. So they're actually saying, you know, they're mentioning real life drugs, and 38% is fictional or made up. So those are the ones where, you know, you get a power boost because you pick up this little article or artifact that's sitting around or deemed to be a drug.
It just seems like they've had it in for Grand Theft Auto for a long time. Yeah, I mean, I've never played a single copy of it, but, you know, other people play it and love it. It's just not a game that's up my alley, but it's just every chance they get. I mean, this thing has everything. Violence, beating. You can walk up to a random person and beat them to death. So now we got cocaine in there. Now it's over the line. Stop it.
I mean, the gratuitous death and killing that goes on in there.
No big deal.
Don't worry about that now. We're on to the drugs. That'll get people's attention.
Whoa. Wait a minute. Nobody said anything about cocaine. Come on, let's just stop.
I think the problem that you've got is banning conversation is the route to everything being driven under the ground. And I don't think, I mean, so as an example, we watched a thing on Jamie Oliver a few weeks ago where they were going on about Boost and sugary drinks and that kind of stuff. You know, the tartrazine-filled, caffeine-fueled, mainlining energy drinks. And they were saying that kids are drinking two or three of these things a day. So that's, you know, thousands of calories. But it's also making them hyper. They're unruly in school. They're not sleeping well at night. And when they wake up in the morning, they're not interested in breakfast. And when they said, I'm not interested in breakfast, there was me and Sharon just went, Ellis has been refusing breakfast the last couple of days. So, Ellis, you got a minute? Yeah, come down. Right, truth time, mate. You're not in trouble. So we have a thing called truth time. That if he calls truth time or I call truth time, no one can get told off as long as it's truth. And I said, so are you drinking sugar, you know, these fueled sugary drinks? Yeah. How many do you drink? Two a day. Christ, okay, because we haven't picked that up at all. Why do you drink them? Because they're 50%, they're 50 pence instead of a pound for Coke.
True.
Right.
Okay. Wow.
So, okay, that's fine. Would you do us a favor? Yeah, would you not have one of these drinks for the next 7 days? Promise me. Yeah, all right. So you promise me you won't do it. Yeah, I promise you. I won't have a drink, one of the sugary drinks for the next 7 days. And for the next 7 days, he was a different kid, completely different kid. And on the seventh day, we sat him down because we didn't mention it. We just like talks and said, did you have a sugary drink today? No, I didn't. Well done, dude. Fist bump, and that's it. And at the end of the 7 days, I said, have you noticed how much calmer you are? You noticed how much you're not shouting at me and your mom, or you're not pissed off at your sister? And he's like, yeah. So could we say, don't do the drinks, the sugary drinks? They're going to kill you, mate. They're not good for you. It's obvious that they're not good for you, because look at your behavior. Even you've noticed it.
Like, were these just sodas, or were they actually like energy drinks?
Energy drinks. And he stayed off them now. And he had one the other day. Because he wanted one. He hadn't got enough money for a Coke, so he bought an energy drink. He came back, and it was literally, I was sat there, I was like, have you had a boost today? And he said, yeah, I did. I needed a drink, and I haven't got enough money for a Coke. Right, okay, dude, look, when you go out, if you've only got enough money for a boost, come and see me first, but you've got your pocket money, and here's what I'll do. Every time you go in and you buy a Coke, you bring me the bottle back, and every bottle you bring me, I'll give you the 50p difference between the boost and that. That's the deal. So it only costs you the same amount, so there's no financial incentive to buy it. And he went, yeah, all right, that's fair enough. And the thing is, and as a metaphor for, I know it's only sugary drinks, but as a metaphor for the way that you deal with drugs with kids, surely that's the process. Have a proper and open conversation about it.
Sure.
Yeah. And what's the problem with drugs being in video games? Because my son comes up to me and he said, yeah, I took a snort of Coke. My lad played.
And you said, here's 50p.
Yeah, of course. Because it's the other stuff's worse. But he was earning $100,000 a day in Grand Theft Auto because he owned a Coke factory. And I was like, is it good money? He said, nah. He said, I'd never run onto a reel. You don't make anywhere near the margin I thought you. I'm going to steal cars and boost them instead.
Smart businessman.
I think you should talk about it. Definitely. I don't think there's an issue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't hide anything from my daughter. She's only 8 and I still, you know, if there's a question that she has, even if it's uncomfortable, it's like, we're going to have that conversation.
Oh, you know,
it's just because I want her to understand everything, you know, as much as I can give her. And I play games. I listen to music that has curse words in it around her. My wife starts cringing. I'm like, if it's not here, it's going to be somewhere else. So at least we don't have to treat these things like, you know, like her whole life is going upside down because she heard a bad word. It's just like, whatever. She knows what she can say and what she can't say. Yeah.
One rule for you and one rule for her.
Yeah, that's it.
That's why I'm a dad.
I didn't say it was fair. Nothing in this dad contract said fair. Nothing.
Is there going to be an outcry at this? So is Donald Trump going to pass legislation that stops the use of drugs in video games with children?
No, because he can't pass any legislation.
And therein lies the real positive element of the story.
Well, Jeff, only if he makes money off of it, then it'll pass.
Oh,
if he's not making any money off of it, then forget it.
I heard.
Can we at least have a Trump draws for it then, at least?
Bob says the report's authors are not calling for the games to be modified in any way. I didn't say they were. I said, as a result of this study, do we think there's going to be any action taken? Yeah. So, Jesus, you OCD. Love you, Bob.
Yeah, what they're talking about is obviously they want to put certain ratings on these games. That's what they're calling for. I mean, talk about, you know, the state looking after and trying to make you do everything. I saw on the news the other day somebody made a call in Derby to the police because they'd got an egg box in the fridge and one of the eggs was broken or something, and they were asking advice about whether they should leave the eggs in there or not. I thought, oh, heaven's sake, what are we coming to?
Well, that is a critical issue. But what was the answer? I want to know. That's critical.
She rang 999.
Oh, right, okay, sorry. No, maybe not.
Yeah, sorry, I missed to say that at the start. They rung 999. They said, this is the ambulance service. I don't think we're going to give you advice about eggs in the fridge. Crazy. I just want some advice. Who do I ring? Oh, for heaven's sake. Take some responsibility for yourself.
999 for an egg emergency.
Yeah. An egg emergency,
Years ago in the United States, GE had their answer line. And you could just pick up your phone, call this phone number that they had, and ask them literally anything, and they would be able to answer it for you. So clearly, it's time for that to come back. So people can just have a number they call. Oh, my God, I have broken eggs in my fridge. What do I do? Throw them out.
Oh, thanks for that.
No, you crack them into a cup, singly. Yeah. Because you'll tell the one that's off straight away.
Yeah, so we've got to make sure.
Good point.
Just make sure it doesn't mix with the rest.
We've got to make sure that everybody understands the exact rating. So there's going to be a drug level rating. Real drugs, pretend drugs, how they're used.
Yeah.
Throw
an egg away if it's moldy.
So I suppose if we follow the money back here, this is the ESRB trying to make their case for their age rating or their ratings on games to be more defined, and that they have to be they have to go through these games. So they'll start then asking for a license fee on the back end of that to be able to put the ESRB rating on there, I suppose.
Nothing will guarantee the upsell in a game than it having an 18 rating.
Yeah, that's true. So, that's true.
If my son's got an age-appropriate game, it's like, you're kidding me, Dad, right? You want me to watch Teletubbies? Right. I'm 14 years old. I can play an 18 game. That's the whole point.
So clearly, he is not into drugs, because otherwise he'd probably be really excited about a Teletubbies game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The Teletubby actor died, didn't he? Tinky Winky. Yeah. Yeah, he's gone. He was the one that fell out with the director, though, wasn't he? He was a bit feisty.
Was he?
The director was upset and said his natural acting ability in the purple costume with the antenna on his head was not enjoyable enough for children.
He needed to take more drugs.
They had they had artistic differences. Well, that was the other thing as well, wasn't it? The symbols are supposed to be drug-related on the tops of their heads or something like that. Gang symbols. So, yeah, okay. No, the symbols on the top are supposed to be endemic of gang symbols for what type of drug that you want or something like that. I can't remember what I read it on. But,
oh, yeah. My God.
It's true story, yeah. Good story, guess. We've only done two. We're going to get run over here. Who's next? Camps. Come on, you've got to get it. Yay!
Yay!
Fast-fingered Camps.
Yes, yeah, so my story this week. So Jack White has joined an increasing list of musicians who are banning mobile phones at their concerts. So what Jack's team are saying is that Jack wants everybody to be immersed in it. They don't want to be watching the gig through the screen on their phone. He wants them to be listening, using their ears, using their eyes, watching the stage, and actually having that person experience. So he is using, I'm going to put a second link in the chat room. What at Jack's gigs and others, they're going to be using the Yonder case. I'll just drop a link into what the Yonder case is, or the Yonder pouch. And it's essentially a small pouch that as you go into the venue, you'll be given one of these pouches and you'll be asked to slide your phone into it. And then the top clicks and the phone is essentially locked in. You keep hold of the phone, you go in, but you can't get your phone out of this pouch. If you need to make a call or you need to answer a call, you have to go out of the let's call it the stage area, the audience, maybe into like the reception area of the venue. There'll be some unlocking magnetic devices around that you can just tap at the top. That pops the case open, you get your phone out, and off you go. So I go to quite a lot of concerts, and I do take the odd picture while I'm in there. But one thing that really frustrates me is when I'm stood at the back and actually all I can see is a long line of people in front of me. With their phones up and you can see their screens above the stage. I just wonder, I just think it's an interesting thing, how people would deal with that, how that might turn some people off. What other people on the panel thought of this sort of approach that could potentially be a bit of a growing scenario if people latch onto it?
Well, I think several big name artists in the United States that have been using these for a few years now. Or versions of this. And every time this comes up, people flip out and say, that's it. I'll never go to one of their concerts again. I'm done buying their music. What a load of crap. And it doesn't seem like any of the concerts are suffering for an audience. So my guess is that even though I personally do not like the idea of someone else locking my phone in a bag, and but even saying, oh, don't worry, all you have to do is wave it over this and you get it back out, I don't like that idea at all. But it doesn't seem to be slowing down attendance at concerts.
Yeah, I mean, Taylor Swift could sell any arena anywhere in the world 100 times over.
Yeah.
And Dave Chappelle is big on that, on locking up people's phones, as well as Kevin Hart. You know, Kevin Hart sold out the Philadelphia's football stadium. And so, you know, you're definitely right. It's not stopping people from attending these concerts. But, you know, I'm kind of mixed on it because, you know, the convenience of having a phone is my daughter in the background. The convenience of having a phone. She just got home from school, so she knows her job is to take the dog out.
At least she didn't swear.
you better not. No, but the convenience of having your phone in case of emergency. We were just talking about a story on our show last night where there was a power outage in the building. So people's phones were locked up and they couldn't unlock them. So that caused a big ruckus. And so, you know, there are aspects of it that are probably a bit troubling. But overall, you go to a concert, there's nothing wrong with going and enjoying the concert. And, you know, if the artist doesn't want you recording his stuff and throwing it up on YouTube for your own dumb likes, then, you know, more power to him.
Okay. Any dissenters? Would this make you go, do you know what, bollocks, I ain't going anymore then?
No, not at all. Because obviously we remember a time when we didn't have phones and we didn't take them to things and we enjoyed it. What really gets me, and you see it, I don't get to go to as many gigs or anything anymore, come an old bugger, and no one ever comes to Norwich. It's the people who take frickin' iPads and film at concerts. That's the thing that really gets my goat. Because you see that more and more now. It's like, if you ever take an iPad and then they stand in front of you, that's where it's getting a bit bad. Phones are not so bad because they're small devices, but these bigger devices would go, and then people would go bros on sticks and all this sort of stuff. I think getting rid of it is a better thing, to be perfectly honest. So it wouldn't stop me going to see someone if they said that, you know, you must, you know, you have to lock. I agree with Jeff. I wouldn't want to lock my phone away. I just wouldn't take it out of my pocket because I don't, obviously I've got kids and stuff, and I wouldn't like the fact that I couldn't get hold of my phone or be in contact, because you're always checking your phone if you're on a date night and someone's looking at your kids.
Yeah.
I just think it's down to the responsibility of the people just not to be idiots.
Yeah, the complaint isn't about using your phone to make a call or receive a call in an emergency. The complaint that these artists are given is that everybody's watching the event through the phone and living their life through, obviously, social media by what they're watching, because what they're watching is through the phone. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. I think it's a phase that we're going through. What are these concerts where they have that? What are they doing? Are they pulling these people out, or are they telling them not to use the phone when they see people doing it? Yeah, it's a difficult one. I agree with Wrighty. Yeah. It must be frustrating when you're stood behind somebody and they pick up an iPad and start filming it. It is a real difficult one. I'm not sure which way I'm swayed. I just feel sorry for the people that are watching what they do, you know, the concert that they've spent a lot of money to go to, and they're watching it. Well, they're not watching it. They're watching the phone. Just seems odd. I'm like you, Wrighty. If I go anywhere like that, the phone goes away. But we're all different.
I think there's in a scenario now where so many people have got smartwatches of one sort or another, or you've got Fitbits that show you notifications and stuff like that. You know, if you've got your phone and it's either locked away or it's tucked away in your pocket and you can't see it, if that urgent call comes in, you're gonna see it on your wrist in so many cases nowadays, and not everybody, granted, but in so many cases nowadays, and in a lot of them you can reply if you really had to. So for me, actually having it tucked away, or worst case, even locked away, wouldn't put me off.
Yeah, it's not that though, is it? It's about these people wanting to show other people what they're doing and how wonderful their life is.
It's your Facebookers, you know, look where I am tonight.
I think you got
it. People live streaming.
I'm coming at this from a different angle a little bit, I suppose. But if they said, right, we're doing this because we want to stop people fighting at concerts because everyone's holding things up in front of people's faces, I'm totally behind it, because that would be me. If I was at a concert and someone held up an iPad Pro to try and shoot a thing at the stage and I couldn't see the stage, right, mate, I've let you take a couple of pictures, now take it down.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm at a concert, I'm going to watch it if I can. Take it down, or I'll break it in half and shove it up your ass.
Well, at least you have the courtesy to break it in half first.
Yeah. I'm not an animal.
Yeah.
So then it's like, well, okay, if it's to try and avoid scuffles that are breaking out in the crowd over this, that's probably a good idea. But it's not. These guys are saying, oh, no, this is my artistic experience, love, and you have to take the artistic experience in the way I want you to take it in. He's like saying Van Gogh said, no, you can't watch this painting unless you're 4.5 feet away and you're wearing wide-angle goggles that I've sold to you at £25 a pair and you stop for a drink after 10 minutes. It's pretentious bollocks. And that's what I've got a problem with.
I must admit, I was wondering whether there's a bit of, they're trying to stop at what? Privacy here, not piracy, it's, not privacy, piracy. Yeah.
You're not putting this out.
But isn't that their right to do that, though? I mean, they're the artists. They're putting on a show that you know, you're paying to come see them. Shouldn't they be able to perform their content in the manner in which they want to perform it?
When an artist tells you how you should consume art, it's no longer art, it's ego. Sorry. That's the profoundest thing I think I've ever said.
I was like, what are you reading? What are you really reading deep. Over there? Get out of here. No, I mean, I get it, you know, but at the same time, I think you can say, you know what? When you go to an art gallery, don't come in there with your clown outfit and your spinning goggles, you know, expecting to appreciate the art. I mean, I think there's some, you know, a baseline that you can go with. And I think we all can agree that, hey, when you, it's much better experience when you're in tune, you're listening to the music, you're jumping, you're clapping or whatever, and you're not sitting there holding your phone up and recording it the whole time. I mean, I think we all can agree that. So I get what you're saying, though. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. I'm just, you know, I feel like that I think it's all things, you know, the fight.
If they had a practical purpose for doing it, I'd back it up. But it's not. It's an egocentric.
Well, I tell you specifically, purpose. I heard an interview with Dave Chappelle, and he specifically said...
That needs to work on being funnier rather than worrying about who's taping his show. Because
yeah, he specifically said that he did not like people recording his content and putting it up on YouTube because it ruins it for the next people that are going.
Yeah, but him turning up to the next continent will ruin it for the next people that are coming.
Who, Dave Chappelle? Yeah, he's the funniest guy in America.
Yeah, my ass.
In the world, actually.
Yeah, right, my ass.
Who's funnier than Dave Chappelle?
My wife.
Stop it. Stop it.
Right.
I'm sure your wife is a very funny lady.
Right, his uncle Bernard Matthews has been dead for 10 years.
I love...
He threatened to shoot Righty on his lawn, and I laughed my tits off.
Your favorite comedian looks up to Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle would actually be funnier through a medium. Most definitely.
Your favorite comedian is in comedian. All of them. So what more can I say?
There's a cultural difference here as well, isn't there? Because rarely do people either go to the theatre or obviously the cinema now and films. And film, because you kind of know that you don't do that, and it's fairly easy for somebody to come along and say, yeah, put that in your pocket. Not as easy at concerts, but people don't even for a second consider that they can't take their phone out and film it, even though the majority of concert tickets, I was just looking at one here now, it does say that unauthorized filming or pictures are prohibited, but everybody ignores that rule, but less so in the theatre, because it's easier for somebody to tap them on the shoulders and tell them to put it away.
You see, again, the Dave Chappelle thing, joking aside about how funny he isn't, I can get the point there, and that's a logical reason. Say, look, you may not be able to get a great picture of me on stage, but you're getting really good quality audio, and that's going to ruin it for everyone that comes afterwards. But for a rock concert, I've just bought the album. I've listened to all the tunes. I know all the words. I'm going to sing along. What the hell does that make?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It is pretentious, the way it's been put there, but at least Dave has a slight point, even if he...
Ah, stop it.
I've never heard of the guy.
Exactly. Exactly.
I've never heard of him. I'm having to Google him.
I just Googled him too.
He's, wasn't he the Yo Mama jokes with Eddie Murphy in...
No, oh no. Oh no.
Oh my God.
He was the Yo Mama jokes in Nutty Professor.
Oh, you mean Nutty Professor. Sorry. Yeah. Yes. I thought you were saying something else. Sorry. I cut you off too soon. Yes, absolutely.
He's no Tim Vine, is he?
Who?
Yeah, no, right.
Who?
He's from Norwich, probably. Right, his cousin.
Did you guys not get the Chappelle show over there in Europe?
Thankfully, no.
Thankfully, no. They paid him $50 million for his content. It was funny.
What? So is that what we paid so he didn't send it over?
I don't know what you guys pay.
Worth every penny.
Oh, I forgot. You guys do like that dry humor. You don't like anything that makes people actually laugh.
No, we do humor. No, we do humor.
They use your humor to soak up oceans.
Oh, the hate mail I'm getting this week. Jesus.
It's going to be epic.
It's bad enough when I slag off Apple. But have you noticed Adam Christensen really anti-Apple at the moment? Oh, man. Jeff, I've got to say as well, I did mention before you came on the show, I want to big you up for trying to maintain some journalistic integrity with the HomePod and trying to still sound reasonably positive on Mac Observer, mate. I'm thoroughly impressed. Whereas as Cult of Mac has just decided to put the brown nose up Apple straight away. Well done, mate.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I know it's off topic for this show. Yes, I'm going to get a HomePod.
But you wouldn't.
And, because I need to use it, test it out and all that. We'll see if I keep it. I don't know if I'm going to keep it past the 14-day return window.
Yeah.
Was that 350, right?
350, yep. It better have the best sound I've ever heard and give me a lap dance.
Do you see that Sonos have matched two Play Ones
for
359? Just the same. Like, oh my God.
Good move, Sonos.
Yeah.
And the Sonos actually does multi-room streaming right now, unlike HomePod.
Yeah.
Oh, and stereo, unlike HomePod.
Oh, and doesn't require you to have Apple Music because you can actually just stream it from your phone to it anyway.
Right, and you Take don't that. Have to have an iPhone or an iPad to go along with your HomePod.
I did.
Oh, wait a minute. Why are you testing this thing? You already know what you don't like about it.
I did read your article.
I know what I don't like about it, but I'm going to keep an open mind. If I'm going to do a review, I need to have the product and test it. And if I'm wrong about the things that I'm bummed about now, okay, I'm man enough to admit that I made a mistake.
I did read your article yesterday, Jeff, and when you put the line in about Siri's advanced features, I spat coffee on the screen.
Sorry about your screen.
That's all right, mate. Who's next with the story?
There you go.
There we go, Jeffrey. Talk us through.
Okay, so we started off with drugs a little bit ago, so we might as well bring sex into it. So there's some people that have developed software that you can use for free that uses artificial intelligence to map someone's face onto someone else's body. Now, of course, the first use for this is putting celebrities on into porn movies. Yes. But what they're doing with this software that you can just go download right now is like really sophisticated. This is the same kind of stuff that Disney did in the prequel.
Aladdin, Jasmine. No, go on.
Yeah. So what was that? Not The Force Awakens. Rogue One, where they had Princess Leia, they had to map the face to the body.
Peter Cushing as well at the end of the last one.
Yeah, so they, they had to use very sophisticated, very expensive software and systems to make this happen, and now people have figured out how to do it just on your home PC. So you can just download the software. You have to spend some time getting everything matched up, of course. But once it's done, it does a stunningly realistic job of mapping one person's face onto another person's body. So when we take it past the natural use, porn, it's kind of scary, I think, because now you can take anyone and put them into any scenario and make it look like they were actually recorded doing whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. I just love that story that I don't know who she is, but they've got Daisy Ridley's face on porn performer's video using fake app. Daisy Ridley sounds like a porn star to start with. I don't know who
Daisy Ridley plays Rey in the new Star Wars movies.
She's not American.
The hero.
She's British, yes. She's a Brummie as well. Oh, I'll take that back, Daisy. Sorry, mate.
She's funny.
I noticed there's a lack of example videos on this.
Well, there's a whole subreddit, and so if you go to Reddit and look for fake app, then you can find this subreddit that's just loaded with videos people have been making.
Is this like a shareware type thing? Is it free?
It's totally free.
Oh.
Yeah, anyone can go get the software. And the guy that's developing this app, just based on the AI stuff that the original person was doing, he's expecting that very soon he'll have it, the software, down to a point where you go and find the video you want to use. You find some photos or video of the person you want to superimpose, and then you click a button, and it lets you match the stuff up very quickly, and you're done. So it's just a couple clicks essentially, and now you've put someone's face onto someone else's body, and you've got this video rendering out to do with as you please.
First off, it's amazing that
it is amazing. Yeah,
that this can be, you know, because like you mentioned earlier, how, you know, the money these companies spend to do that in movies, and this, you know, these guys are just doing it and like putting it out there and like, have at it. But, you know, in this day and age, I'm so concerned about the nefarious use cases that can come from that. I mean, you already got the fake news going on now, you know, where everything is fake. But then you have the trolling that goes on as well. So, man, what's to stop somebody from making one of these, and then all of a sudden, you know, we got a 6-week news cycle on a fake video? Yeah, it just, I'm not saying for the guys not to do it, you know, do your thing. I my mind, unfortunately, is going straight to what this is going to turn into. Aside from the fact it is kind of creepy, dude.
It's very, you know, creepy.
It's kind of creepy. Like, oh, I'm a fan of this J-Lo. So every video, all my favorite videos, J-Lo is going to, no. I don't know. That kind of creeps me out. But nonetheless, you know, the fairest part of it is just that could potentially happen is a bit scarier to me.
Surely there's a threshold point where you've just got to realize that a video, the porn stuff. So you get Jennifer Aniston to do a porn scene with a porn star's body. You're instantly going to look at that and go, I know that's not Jennifer Aniston. Yeah, great. Okay. It's a bit of a fantasy thing, but it's not, I know it's not her deep down. So there's no point in getting excited over it. The stuff that's really scary is when you film someone in the street doing something, and then
right,
you put it on.
Yeah, of course.
And it's Jennifer Aniston pickpocketing, or it's Jennifer Aniston stealing a hot dog, or it's Jennifer Aniston walking out of an Amazon Go store without scanning her app. You know, that's when it becomes, because that's like, what? And that's when they really are going to be in a, and that's going to be significantly easier to do it than an all-in porn scene, I would have thought. If you can do it in porn, you can do it anywhere.
Yep.
It's amazing how decade after decade, the porn industry continues to, you know, take on the most. Fair,
that the porn industry has not invented this.
I didn't say they invented it, but it's always a big motivator to move some technology forward.
So we're all concerned about AI and robots taking over the world, but no, the porn industry is where it's going to make its money. That's where it's going to be at, definitely.
Good, man. It's good for them.
It's scary. That is scary. Definitely. Good story, I think.
Awesome story.
Where it's going to go, I don't know. I could do with it, though, because it'd be great if I could green screen someone here with just a face and then put it on a body of someone that talked out on track and just let the audio play over.
Well, go get a fake app and have at it.
That might be good, actually. Yeah, because I could get someone, if someone delivers a line by the side of the railway and I'm filming them, and then the audio muffles or something like that, and they can come here, I can green screen the face off and just put it on top of it, and it's seamless with new audio on. That'd be great. Yeah. All right, I've had a thought there. Natalie Dormer, not safe for work. Do I click it?
Yes.
Not what we said. Of course you're going to click it.
I'm clicking it, but I'm not. Holy shit, that's good. Oh, my life. I need to show you this. It's still at the safe bit. She's clothed. That is her. That is her. That's not... Oh, no, no. I need to move my quicker. Not quite fast enough.
It's, I mean, the work you would have to do on digging into that video to figure out that it wasn't real, it's most people are never going to do that or even know what to look for. So for all practical purposes, that's a real video of Natalie Dormer.
But you know she'd never do that. So
right.
And the thing is as well, I suppose, if you make it iPhone level quality and then you put it up as a Fappening type thing, that is believable.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Good. So I've posted it in the chat room. So if you are listening and you would like to know the Natalie Dormer video, it's in BTN links. Just go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And it was posted at 9:14 p.m. Big Chris, have you got a story for us, man?
I do. And going back to the gaming side of the world, it was a recently announced that so first off, Microsoft has this subscription service where you can essentially pay $9 a month, and what you get is the backlog of many of the games that you could play on the Xbox and the Xbox 360. And I had been considering joining it for a while, but you know, most of the time I find myself when I play the games that I pretty much play them exclusively. I may bounce between two, maybe three games, but that's it. But, you know, the Game Pass, the Xbox Game Pass, as it's called, still kind of makes sense, you know, because a lot of my friends get that nostalgic bug and they go back, and I do the same thing some every once in a while. But they recently made an update to the Game Pass in which they're going to add immediate access to exclusive game titles that they produce. So one of the biggest games that I'm looking forward to be playing this year is Crackdown 3. I was a huge fan of Crackdown 1, not so much Crackdown 2, but you know, with the changes, with what Crackdown 3 could be on the Xbox One, is just exciting to me. So, and the fact that you could get the Xbox Game Pass and you automatically get Crackdown 3 right out of the gate. So just that alone, based on the $9 you're going to pay anyway, a month, you know, it would pretty much pay for itself. Now, if Microsoft doesn't keep up with, you know, having like A1 games come out, maybe not so much, but at least this is a pretty interesting thing that might put this service over the top. So I know some of you guys aren't gamers, but you know, with the subscription and the access to hundreds of games, I don't know. I think Microsoft kind of pulled off a little thing here because I'm really considering getting this now.
So, I mean, I pay £40 a year. Are you really paying twice as much? Even on the current exchange rate, it's not. You're still paying like, that's going to be like 70 or 80 quid, and I don't pay that a year.
What are you paying for, though? You're just paying for...
Am I paying for gold?
You're paying for gold.
This is I'm paying for gold.
Yeah, this is separate. Yeah, yeah. This is separate from gold, though.
Yeah, yeah. Got you.
So this is like straight games, like, you know, EA Electronic Arts has EA Access, which gives you all, you know, a backlog of all their games per month. I'm not sure if anybody else has the service out there.
Is this where do you download the game? Then are you streaming it?
No, you still would you would have access to download it to your console. But basically you pay your $9 a month, and essentially all the games that they've added to this to the service, you would be able to just pick any one of them, download and start playing it.
So this, you know, like setup is for the Mac with applications. It's like it is for games. That's cool.
Yeah. So it's existed already, but the fact that they're adding newer titles to it and you get immediate access to it, I think is a pretty slick move. And a lot of people are talking about that. It's $9 a month.
How big are to download games nowadays? It's like, I don't know.
It depends on the game, but you could see anywhere between 30 to 100 gigs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, they just,
you've got, what is it, a terabyte?
Yeah.
Disc on.
Yeah. I got the Xbox One X, so... it has plenty of space, and you can always add a drive to it if you need more space. But the you know, if a game is in 4K, it's going to be up in that 100 gig realm.
Yeah, no, they've been advertising like crazy on the front pages of the Xbox One, and I haven't dipped in because, like Chris says, a lot of old games that have seen better days. But I'd be more interested I wouldn't jump in with these exclusives they've got now. But I think if more newer games came along, yes, it's going to double the price of my yearly subscription, but it means you haven't got to go out and buy games, because at least as part of the Xbox Gold, you get three.
You get the free game free for gold. Yep.
Yeah. And they've all been fairly decent. I think one Xbox One game and one Xbox 360 game. That's not bad. But what I have seen in the Xbox Game Pass is a lot of those free games are in the Game Pass as well as in Xbox Live
Games for Gold.
But I think it's about 100 games in there at the moment. I think it needs to be a bigger library before I shell down. There is a month free trial if you want to try it, though,
which is
handy. So there's no risk to anyone. So I think it's a good move.
It does sound incredibly good, which, you know, normally things around games. I think the games market is in a bit of a watershed at the moment, with the furore over Battlefront and then reversing the decision almost. I think there is a testing time now where the people are willing to walk with their, you know, with their dollars and say, you know what, sorry, I think you're ripping me off, I'm not paying for it anymore. Or whether it's just blindly going into it for the money that's in. So,
well, there's a huge transition going on in some of these games where a lot more in-game content is available for purchase. And the problem is, a lot of these manufacturers are having trouble putting things behind the paywall and not pissing off the people that don't want to go through the paywall. They'd rather just earn it through grinding in the game. So the Destiny 2 is really having an issue with that. And, you know, they're on the verge of losing a lot of fans just based on a lot of the mistakes they've made with this particular release.
I was going to say, I think the gaming market is close to gouging at the moment. It's punters, and it's got to be careful. I think they've got two problems. Number one, you've got age-related games which are not specifically and not accurately denoted on platforms like iOS and Google Play and that kind of stuff, and there's going to be legislation that will crack down on that. And there's also going to end up being legislation as a result on price gouging with games. They'll be stopped having lockers and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which it shouldn't be that way. It should self-regulate.
Agreed.
I like that concept, though, Chris. I think that's a really good a good model going forward if it's kept at a reasonable price and there's a good supply of games coming that way.
Yeah. Excellent.
Good story, mate. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you've been a BTN listener for a while, you'll know that we've been around a while. This is our 10th year, and the bash is going off on the 7th of July this year, and it is our 10th anniversary year, so it's going to be a hell of a bash. No tickets on sale yet, but what I'm saying is get it in your diaries and block yourselves out for the 7th of July. Curry on the 6th, bash day on the 7th, and barbecue around my house on the Sunday if you want to stick around, no problem. At the moment, if you book your tickets, or book a room rather, over at the Travel Lodge over the way in Castle Brom, the dates will not change. It's definitely the 7th. It's not going anywhere. But you'll get a room for 3 nights for about £52. So that'll be well worth it. And that's for, you know, multiple occupants. So if you want to bunk up. And the thing is as well, if you do book a room and then something happens like you can't come, there's always people who'll take the room off you. So you're not going to lose your money, most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So 7th of July, get it in your diaries. Get yourself prepped, ready to come for the bash. It's important that you do. Also, it's the first show of the year, so we need to just pump the subscriptions a little bit if you possibly can. We've got some stuff that we're going to do that's subscription content people only. And if you go to britishtechnetwork.com/subscriptions, you can subscribe to us now. Bloody hell, here we go, you're asking for money. We don't get paid anything for doing this. We don't take in any advertising revenue from anyone. We support people that we believe in, and that's that. If you would like to support us, then that would be fantastic. You can do $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month. It's entirely up to you. But that money pays for the daily show. So Kyle gets paid to do the news show every single week. And without us paying him, we would lose the news show. So please, please, please think about a subscription, even if it's just $5 a month. You know, it's not even a coffee. So please, it would be greatly received, and it makes a massive difference to what we do at this end of stuff. So the microphones that we got for the Bash this year, they all came out of donations for you guys. The Mac Minis came out of donations for you to run the Skype wall. Those are all seriously important to us. So thanks very much for those that do subscribe already. You are numerous, and we do very well, thank you, each month. But we could always do with just a little bit more. So that would be cool. Could just spare it. And the people that do support us, people like UK2, they give us a server free of charge. They give us all our bandwidth free of charge. They help us do the Not Quite Live channel. They do the live stream. They give us two servers that are £400 a month if we didn't get them ourselves. We've got terabytes of storage. So all the shows are there going right the way back to the Bagel Tech days. Again, if you'd like anything on the web, please support our supporters. That's the way it works. BritishTechNetwork.com/UK2 if you want to sign into your account, or BritishTechNetwork.com/sponsors, and you get all the offer codes and you get 20% off your fiber. So well worth it. The Uniku stuff, I've just sent an email actually today to the two chaps at Hoya to talk to about when I need to come up and start doing the filming for them for their new launch films for consumers. So there'll be news on that in the next month or so, but I know that the Uniku frames are rolling out. Machines, rather, are rolling out across the country. So get yourself down to your local opticians and see if they've got it. If not, send an email to Hoya, podcast@hoya.co.uk, and they will send you details of where to go. You'll get the BTN red. Have we got a cool thing? Start us off, Monsieur Pure.
Yeah, will do. Sorry, should I just get the link for him? So, I'm sure people remember the Aftershocks Trex Titaniums that I reviewed last year and love. That's linking. I've had the opportunity, so I got sent a review unit. I've only gone for a couple of weeks. These ones do need to go back, unfortunately. But Aftershocks have launched the Trex Air. So bone conduction, headphones again. So hence the running link. These things are amazing. They're so, have I got the titaniums around? They're so light. They weigh 30 grams. They've got 6 hour battery life on them.
Oh, that's
sound cool. The sound that comes out of them is fantastic. Don't know if you can see the comparison between them and the. So they're the titaniums, and they are the Trex Airs. So quite a bit smaller.
There we go.
Yeah, quite a bit smaller.
Look, less weighty.
About 25% lighter.
Yeah, cool.
And the sound, they've got like what do they call it now? The leak slayer technology, which reduces natural sound leakage. So I don't know, Mulder, if you found that you get an awful lot of sound leakage. I don't, but I've read reviews that people say, you know, if you pump your music up high, that there is a little bit of sort of vibration leakage there. You don't seem to get these with the Airs. But you don't even feel that you've got them on. You really don't. I've had them on a few times at work. I've been walking around, walked into a meeting room, and a couple of people said, you listen to music? I'd totally forgotten that. I still had them on. Lovely. But not cheap. £150 UK. I think they're $180 US. But from a running point of view, or in a situation where you want to listen to music, but equally you need to be sound aware, have open ears in terms of what's going on around you, these are amazing.
So here's the average test, most definitely, for anyone who reviews things. When you send them back, are you going to pull out the wallet and buy a new pair for yourself?
Because I've got the titaniums, no. But when these die, most likely, yes.
Right. There you go. Put that in your review then, mate.
Absolutely.
Good pick. Like that. Jeff, what have you got for us, mate?
I have an app for you that's available for Mac and Windows. And the reason I'm picking this one, it's called Trip Mode. And the reason I'm picking it now is because it's something I've been using for a while, but it's especially handy when I'm at conferences, like I was just at CES. So what it does is it detects when you're using a hotspot, so not on just like regular Wi-Fi or Ethernet, and then it starts shutting down things, services for you, so that you're not saturating your bandwidth or going over data caps. So you can set it so that when you go onto your hotspot, you can shut off like email checking or cloud-based backups or Dropbox syncing, stuff like that. And you can customize it so that you have just the stuff running you want. You're blocking everything that you want to block. And it's really just this amazingly handy tool, and it's $9. So it's worth far more than you pay for it, and available for Mac and Windows.
Excellent. And available on SetApp?
Oh, it's in SetApp too? Yeah. Okay, well, there you go. If you have SetApp, download the crap out of this thing, because you'll use it.
Got it. There we go. Great pick, mate. Like that. I'll be using that most definitely on my laptop. Just a quick point from Muller here at Camps. He's saying, but would you sell your titaniums to buy the others and upgrade? You're on mute, mate.
No, good point. No, I don't think I would. There's a 20%, 25% difference in weight, so possibly not, because they're so close. But if I did, I think based on the fact that I run and I've never used AirPods, I think similar sort of price from a running point of view, I'd probably opt for these over the AirPods from a running perspective. But no, probably wouldn't sell these to buy the Airs.
Ooh, an indictment, mate. Good one. Gazmaz, what have you got for us, mate?
Okay, well, this kind of refers back to what we were talking about earlier, but I've only just recently come across a Netflix show called Black Mirror.
Oh.
And I don't know if anybody's watched that. I know this is not hardware, but this is this is something we've been certainly watching. And funnily enough, the very first Black Mirror episode...
it's wonderfully disturbing.
Oh, it's wonderfully incredible. Disturbing. It's called The National Anthem, and it's about the British Prime Minister having to do stuff with a pig.
Shag a pig.
And they try and green scream in on. Well, you know, this is 4 series ago, so I'm not sure what year that was in. I do know what year. 2011. So this program, I think it's kind of reflecting the modern day that we're living in with the technology that we've got. And it's just brilliant. I've just got into the first series. I'm now into the second series. And go and watch it. If you're into tech, I'd love to get to the modern series, the series 4, because I'm sure that that's going to be showing some stuff which we're going to be seeing coming up soon.
It is really Black disturbing, Mirror. But the onset of technology in it, if you look at Charlie Brooker, who's written all of these, and you think, God, how was he thinking about that 6 years ago?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've now got there, basically, with the story that we had earlier. We've now got there with that very first episode back in 2011.
Yeah, I mean, it's hardly inspiring that you know, actually we're aspiring to pig shagging. But but the one about the memory, one, I watched it last night, where the guy gets hit by a truck and the insurance investigator goes out and looks at it, and they put a little thing on people's heads and it helps them remember, and it records their memory. That's unreal.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I've seen that one yet, because there's one where you can obviously go through, you basically that you have an insert behind your ear and you can record everything through your eyes and you can run back through it. And yeah. On a similar vein,
that
I think.
That was quite disturbing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, the next episode with the insurance is very disturbing, but it's and the twist at the end is lovely.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I know it's not hard tech, but it's definitely about tech, and I think it's really good.
Yeah, no, I'll second that. It's I've only watched about 5 episodes, 6 episodes, but it's disturbing and brutally real. And knowing that it's 7, 6 years old, you look back now and you think, God, that's pathetic.
Yeah,
very, very good. Strongly recommend it. Righty boy, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, I'm late to the game on this one, but what I've been enjoying for the last month, and I'm only saying it now because I'm actually getting good at it, is Overwatch on the Xbox One. which is like one of the best games I've ever played. Now, I've been playing a load of shooters like Titanfall 2 and Call of Duty and all that sort of thing, but everyone else is probably off playing Overwatch or Destiny 2 probably, because when you go into the party rooms to shoot people, there's no one around. But this, I got this on offer. It was half price for the Game of the Year edition at Christmas, and I got a download for £25. And the best thing about it is when you buy a lot of these games, you get, you know, you've got to pay for DLC for extra content and all that sort of thing. But this game kind of changes with the season. So at Christmas, they have Christmas leagues and, you know, they've got an Overwatch League going on at the moment. They've got live sports and stuff on there. It's just like the best £25 you could ever spend, because they're not asking for anything from you. You earn your credits within the game to buy, you know, you use virtual currency to buy skins and all that sort of stuff. And you're not sitting there waiting around a lot, because even if there's not a game to play, they'll throw you to a skirmish in a waiting room with people. So literally, as soon as you turn the game on, you'll be playing within like 30 seconds. And there's like tons of characters. They're always adding to it. It's really colourful. There's so many locations, and it's just so many different modes. And I just absolutely love it. And as soon as I get home, it's the first thing I play. And I haven't gone back to anything since.
Excellent, mate. Good one.
It's a good game. I like the fact that there's no grind to it. You can. It is what it is. You go in, you pick your character, and you get good with that character. It's a great concept.
Yeah, good
one. And I won. It took me a month, but I won my first deathmatch yesterday. Which is why I've said this has taken me a month. And I've probably been beaten by 12-year-olds, but there you go.
That's the way it goes, man.
Chris, what have you got for us as a cool thing?
All right, so I usually come in with a super expensive pick, and I told myself I'm not doing that this time. So I apologize for the people that spent all that money on me, on my pick so far. But I'm going to go with a headset pick as well, and something I've been really, really enjoying. And these are the Jabra Elite Sport headsets, and they're earbuds. And you know, my first thing about these was, are they going to be able to stay in my ear? Because, you know, I've been working really hard for the last 8 months, lost a ton of weight, and have incorporated gym work. And so, you know, with earbuds, the first thing you think of is they're going to fall out constantly. These things have never fallen out of my ear. And I've done running, walking, deadlift, squat, bench,
yeah,
treadmill, you name it, I've done it, and they don't move. The other thing is they actually sound really good. Now, of course, they're not going to have the same sound quality as a plugged-in headphone or a bigger headphone, but they sound good enough that, you know, they can get you pumped up with, you know, depending on the music you listen on for the workout you're doing. The other thing that I really like about these is the app that they have to go with it. It has the ability to locate them if you've lost them. It also has the ability to adjust the sound. So if you like a little bit more bass, you can dial the dial a little bit to give it more bass. You want it more even, you can dial it back. The other thing that it has that I like as well is what they call a pass-through feature. And what this is, it allows you to turn on the pass-through feature either through the phone or through the earbuds, and it allows you to actually be able to maintain a conversation. It'll actively activate the microphone on the outside so you can actually hear what people are saying and you can have a conversation without having to remove the earbud. So these things are pretty awesome. And the reason why I wanted to go with these, because I have a pair of Bose headphones that go over the head, and they fell off my head when I was doing an incline bench. So I was like, that's it. There's things too expensive for that. The other thing, and I don't like the, at least for working out, I don't particularly fancy the headphones that go behind the head, because when you're laying on the bench, you actually press the band and it pops and it's going to pop up. Yeah. So, you know, I've been looking at this a while. I don't like having a wire coming off the headphones, because when you're walking, you always get that wire caught on a barbell or something. It's yanking your headphones and your phone out of your hand. So earbuds were really interesting to me just for those things that I just laid out. But they, of course, they had to function. They had to sound good. And they could not fall out of my ear when I was lifting or doing anything where I was exerting myself. And these have done a great job. So they're listed at $200 in the UK, Amazon.
But I know here in the States at Best Buy right now, they're selling for $140. So to me, they're worth every single penny. So the Jabra Elite Sport wireless earbuds.
Excellent. Thank you, Deepan, for shoving a link in the chat. Those. Good pick. If you want to know where the links are for all the cool things, then just go to britishnetwork.com/chats, navigate to the relevant day, which is the 25th of January, and you'll scroll down and you've seen all of the stuff that's there from the big show. My cool thing has gone in there, and it is a great little piece of software that I kind of stumbled upon, not out of desperation, but just I had a customer I'd shot a pile of photos for, and they said, oh, this is great, brilliant. Because you just shrink them down a bit so that I can stick them on the web page. Just take some of the file size out of them. Yeah, okay. And I know they can automate that through some, you know, like using Automator in. But I've always found that a bit kludgy. And I think it probably only uses Automator script in the background with a, you know, like kind of an Xcode front end. But there's a program that's available in the Mac App Store that's only 99¢, and it's image resizing. Mm. It is brilliant. It's just drag your photos in, drop them, then click what you want to do to change them, whether you want to keep aspect ratios, that kind of stuff, and then where do you want to stick in which folder as an output. And I, like I say, I'm pretty sure it's probably only an automated script running, but it means I haven't got to sit and tweak the automated script that I had to get the right size, to get the right reduction, that kind of stuff. And it's brilliant. I absolutely adore it. I've used it loads in this week, and I've used it for the images for the website. And as Righty will attest, there's not a lot of loss.
No, not at all.
And the images are minuscule in comparison. It'll take like a 13 meg JPEG and squeeze it down to 58 meg, and the loss is incredible. So give it a go. You won't regret it, I promise you. And it's dirt cheap.
Lovely.
Where can we get a hold of you then? And the other thing I meant to say is we've had a load of reviews for the Mac Show that I'm going to read tomorrow, but we haven't had any reviews for the Big Show of late. So if you do listen to the Big Show, then please give us a review on iTunes and we'll read it out next week. Doesn't matter if it's witty, if it takes the piss out of us, if it's funny, if it just slags us off, we'll still read it out because they're hilarious, especially the ones that slag us off. They're really...
How can people not be writing reviews, especially after the CES show?
True.
Yeah, I mean, that was just quality. Absolute quality. Thank you. If you can write us a review, that'd be great. We'll read them out next week. Where can we get a hold of you then, Monsieur Campion?
You can get me at Campion UK on Twitter. I'm Campion UK on Instagram as well. Actually, I never mentioned that. And I'm always in the Slack room. You can get me there.
Definitely, mate. Where are you, Jeff?
I'm hanging out over at MacObserver.com, and I'm Jay Gamet on Twitter. Same thing on Instagram. And actually, if you're following me on Instagram, you would have seen my pink pussy hat. Yeah. And then like pretty much every podcast that's out there.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Where are you, Gaz?
Twitter.com/ Gazmaz, or over on the My Mac podcast with Guy Searle. We call ourselves the G-Men for obvious reasons.
Of course, yes. Righty boy, where are you?
Paul was on Twitter, mate, over in the Slack room and banging out the old reviews at BTM.
Awesome, mate. Thank you very much for your help this week as well.
Pleasure.
And last but by no means least, Monsieur Ashley, the man who finally made it to the show.
Finally, I forgot how that song goes. Anyway, you can find me at the SMR podcast. We record every week, smrpodcast.com. Three homies that talk tech, but we'll talk about everything: politics, toenails, football, basketball, whatever. We don't care. We talk about it all, but it's a pretty fun show, and you know, you'll feel like you're one of us when you listen. You can also catch me on Twitter. At Big Chris Ashley, and I'm starting to, I don't know how much you guys are into barbecue, but I'm starting to record some of my smokes, of the food I smoke in my new smoker I got. So I'll be tweeting some of those videos out that I'm putting on YouTube. So if you're into smoke food, then yeah, you might want to check that out.
I want to get a cold smoker this year, but the wife's not letting me.
Mm.
I tried curing last year. That was I'm going to do some more curing. That was well worth it.
Would you cure a ham?
No. I cured some belly pork into like an incredibly salty bacon, and which wasn't nice at all. Richard Harkness was staying down with me for the night, and I said, "Do you want to try a bit of this?" And he just like you could almost see his cheeks being sucked in by the dryness of it, and him going, "It's quite salty." but then I did a port loin, and the port loin was stunning, absolutely stunning, and it's great.
Very nice.
I can get over the fact that once I got all the fluid out of it in the fridge with the
dehydrated
salts and stuff, well, I used the salt compound and sugar compound thing with juniper berries in it and that kind of stuff, and then I hung it up, and it was just like no smell, no drippage, no nothing. It was just dry as a bone. Superb.
Yeah, I want to try to do a jerky. I haven't done jerky yet.
Yeah, I've got a recipe for jerky, and I bought a little small book on curing, but that's an entirely different. We should do a podcast on curing. There we go.
Let me know.
I mean, I'll come on guest on yours, mate, and I'll show you me dry cure. Right, we'll be back again next week. We're on Friday next week, though, for the live show. It's not Thursday because I've got a thing on the evening on Thursday. This show, remember it well, because I'm hoping it will be the last show where we're relying on Skype putting these silly frigging things on the top corners of all the screens. So we're going to try Discord tomorrow during the Mac show, and if that works, then that's it. Skype's out the window. Sorry. Sling your rug, mate. So it should be good fun. You can get me on Ewan Rankin at Twitter, and you can follow the network on @BritishTech or BritishTechNetwork.com for all the reviews and blogs that these two boys do. Plenty of, though. So please, please, please dive in there and see you next week on Discord.